This is the Outsource Accelerator Podcast, exploring business and outsourcing mastery. Let's do it. Hi, I am Derek Gallimore, and this is Outsource Accelerator. This is our podcast, and today, in episode number 103, I am having a chat to Michelle Fegan of Yampo Solutions. So I have had previous episodes with Michelle. She's a ball of information. You can learn a huge amount from her. She's got a lot of good corporate experience. If you want to know more about her journey, then go back and listen to episode 87. If you want to hear me digging into her business model, which is Yampo Solutions, which is an outsourcing service provider, then go and listen to episode number 93. And today we talk more broadly of Michelle's experience. I tap into her business insights, and you know, we have a generally good old chat, and there's a lot of valuable information in there for you. So if you want to get in touch with Michelle or get any information about this episode, then go to our show notes at outsourceaccelerator.com/103. Enjoy. Today we have Michelle Fegan with us. She has appeared in a couple of episodes prior where we explore her journey in terms of outsourcing and her corporate background, and then we also dig into Yampo Solutions. So now I want to talk more broadly with Michelle about outsourcing the Philippines and the business applications for that. So hi Michelle, welcome back and thanks for your time.
Hi Derek, thanks. It's great to be back again.
And for those that haven't listened to the prior episodes, can you just give us a quick background about how you found yourself here and what you're involved in now?
Sure. So I'm Australian, and in my former corporate life, I was an IT engineering manager for Macquarie Bank, which is Australia's largest financial investment bank. Back in 2009, they asked me to head to Manila to start an IT engineering function for them offshore for 3 months. My 3 months turned into 3 years. Then I headed off to India, and after a year in India, I decided I wanted to do something a little different. So I packed my bags and came back to the Philippines and decided to start my own business. Wow. I initially started here in Cebu, which is where I live, but I've got a couple of locations in Manila as well now.
Okay, so I want to start off. You, with Macquarie, you saw outsourcing from many different sides, but you spent a year, was it, in India, and then you returned by yourself to the Philippines. Why did you choose the Philippines over India as your outsourcing future?
Wow, that's quite a it's quite a story there. I'll try to keep it brief. When I moved to the Philippines, it was my first. I'd always wanted to live and work offshore, and the Philippines was my first offshore location, and I absolutely loved it. I found I really enjoyed my job. I really found that I was learning as much about myself and Australian culture as I was about Philippines culture. And I discovered a really rich social network in the expat community here. I've actually written some articles on LinkedIn about the concept of community and how different the concept of community is to me from my Australian life versus what I experienced in the Philippines. When I went to India, it was a little bit of a different story. I was managing a global team across many time zones, and I was also required to travel a lot to visit the teams in London and New York, Manila, Hong Kong. So I didn't actually get to spend a lot of time at home in India, which meant I didn't establish a social network, a personal network. I didn't really have any friends there. And also, sad but true, life for a single female is a little bit tougher in India. Well, a little bit, quite a bit tougher in India than it is in the Philippines.
Interesting. Amazing. And so in terms of the outsourcing aspect of India, did you get to know that, and you know, can you sort of offer insight into that? Because India is, I suppose, the competitive equal to the Philippines. I think they employ about 3 million people in the sector as opposed to about 1 million people here. But Yeah, do you have any sort of comparative insights?
So one of the reasons when I was with Macquarie, one of the reasons we went to India in the first place was, firstly, we had introduced an element of risk into the organisation in that there was quite a high dependency on our Philippine locations. And it's a bank, obviously, sound, stable, 24/7 infrastructure is required, and they felt it was prudent to have a secondary site, which is why we went to India. So that was the primary reason. But there also were some skills that were quite difficult to find in the Philippines, some specific technologies that were more readily available in India than they were in the Philippines. So we were looking for some of those skills in that market. I hired some fabulous people in India, some really talented people, friendly, culturally, a good fit for our organisation. It was, from a professional perspective, it was a very rewarding experience, my time there. But there is a big difference between the Indian worker and the Filipino worker, and for me, particularly for smaller companies who might be outsourcing for the first time, the reasons that they would prefer to choose the Philippines is the English language capability is very, very good. Culturally, there are very... of course, Filipinos have their own very strong culture, but they have become very adaptable. They've had Spanish, American, Japanese influence here, and they're very, very adaptable and a very good fit for Western business etiquette. Compared to India, which has such a very, very strong culture of its own, and some of those cultural aspects are a little bit more difficult for Western workers to understand or to relate to. And then, of course, the strongest deterrent, unfortunately, for the Indian market is they were the first entrants into particularly the call centre industry, and many of us had bad experiences in those early days. They're much better now. The Philippines has been able to leverage a lot of the learnings from how the Indian market handled call centres. But I think as a result, the Indian accent isn't as palatable to us as the Filipino accent.
It's interesting what you say there. Many people, there's a scowl when they think about call centres and when they call the bank and it's a foreigner on the end of the phone. And it's probably the entire experience is marred by the experiences people had sort of 10, 15 years ago, yeah? Whereas the entire service provision and industry worldwide has moved on a hell of a lot since then, hasn't
yeah.
it? It's, yeah. Maybe people need to kind of update their reference points. But, that is certainly a concern, and it holds a lot of people back from outsourcing, I think, because of that kind of historic experience people have had with call centres. It's kind of left a bit of a scar on consumers, I think.
I think so. I think also the call centre, I'm not in the call centre industry, so I'm speaking a bit out of my area of expertise, but as a person who frequently calls call centres, I think there's still a lot to be learned. With a call centre of any nationality, what frustrates us the most is the diligent script following, and I think that's all about training, lack of training and lack of empowerment of the worker to use their common sense when it comes to how to respond to someone on the other end of the line.
Yeah, it's difficult with call centres because that's a singular touch point, and you're speaking to someone where they need answers on the go, and you know, this one person is actually having to represent a multinational conglomerate with many sort of moving parts in some respect. And whether, you know, they're based in the US, UK, India or Philippines, it's actually quite a hard role to serve a needy customer and at some point, a disgruntled customer. It is actually quite a difficult role to create the processes to make that a seamless experience. Yeah.
It really is, and it does require a lot of training because each of us in our different cultures have different responses to stress and conflict. So if you ticked off and you're calling another Australian and you raise your voice and you become very clear and assertive, the person on the other end of the line, while maintaining that level of politeness, will become equally clear and assertive. Whereas if you call someone from an Asian background and you start to get a bit firm in your language and firm in your tone, their natural response is to bring harmony into the conversation by being more calm and more quiet and start calling you ma'am or sir, which tends to, certainly in me, press the wrong buttons.
Yeah, it's a difficult, it's one of those sectors I think it's very difficult to do well in, basically, isn't it? Mm. You know, it's a very, very complex sector. And so where do you see the future of outsourcing going then? It's in the Philippines, it's a high-growth sector. It takes about 10% of the GDP. I think there is huge growth potential because of technology bringing the world closer together. We have recently done a white paper, which I'm going to release on the website soon, but there are 35 million SMEs in the high-cost English-speaking world, and nowhere near 35 million SMEs are outsourcing yet. And I think at least every SME really seriously needs to consider outsourcing. So do you see a big growth in outsourcing? What is the potential there for businesses in the Philippines?
Absolutely. I think there are massive opportunities for the very small businesses to leverage outsourcing for their own business success, such as the companies that have high street locations, very, very expensive real estate, with workers sitting in there that have absolutely no requirement to be in that location. Classic example I can think of, and I know some of them do, but real estate offices. They often have someone running the rent roll, and that person never gets out of the office, often doesn't meet anyone, doesn't go and meet clients. I know from my personal experience renting out properties and being a tenant in properties, I never met that person. They could have been in another country and saved that small firm an absolute fortune. So definitely, I think that there are opportunities that the larger companies really forge the way in outsourcing. And I think it's slowly seeping down into those small to medium enterprises, but there's a massive body of small businesses that haven't tapped into the benefits yet.
Why don't you think more people outsource? Is there a concern, apprehension? Is it just a knowledge gap? People aren't aware of it?
I think the number one reason companies don't outsource is they just don't realise how easy it is. I have a couple of clients who are very small businesses and they do have only one person with us, and that's the feedback I get from them. I wish I had known about this 5 years ago. I wish I had known how easy it is. And I think that's part of what you're doing in raising the profile of those of us who run businesses here. That's the message we need to get out. It is so simple, and you don't have to have line of sight of your employee to get good results. You work with a business partner that you trust, and you'll have high caliber resources working in your firm that are absolutely dedicated and committed to your business and delivering the results you need.
It's interesting, isn't it? You know, as a part of our messages, I suppose, we just tell people to get started. You know, don't overthink it. If you're a billion-dollar company and you're going to hire 200 people, you need to do some analysis. but I think, as you say, the analysis paralysis for smaller companies, there's a lot lower risk for getting into outsourcing because the cost is so much smaller. If you're going to hire a $200,000 highly skilled person in Australia, then you really need to think about that. Yeah, like there's sort of strategic risks in taking someone on of that cost. But in the Philippines, I think there's an opportunity to just get started with a VA. The whole relationship could cost you, you know, $400, $500, $600, $700 a month, but then it just opens the door to you first experiencing outsourcing and getting on that journey. Yeah.
One of the things we did when we started Yempo, when we built our operating model, and I have to confess, I tell my clients this as well, we didn't look at other BPOs' operating model and how they cost it, what their prices are. We didn't look at any of that when we started Yempo. We built everything from the ground up on what we thought made sense for what we could offer and how and the type of client we were attracting. So we did two things. The first thing was we make it as easy as possible for clients to exit Yempo. There's no long-term contracts. There's 30 days notice. There's no fees held. It's as easy as possible, as easy as we could make it within the confines of the local labour code to exit our arrangement, because if it's easy to get out of an arrangement with us, then it gives people more confidence in getting into it in the first place. And the second thing we did, we don't collect, there's no deposits, there's no huge advance payments. We do everything on a 30-day invoice basis so that people can build some trust that we are reputable and ethical. I think if I was a little business owner sitting somewhere, it might be a bit scary to hand a slab of money over to somewhere overseas, someone you've never met, and you don't know what's going to happen to it. So we make it easy for people to get out, easy for people to get in, and we also are very fortunate in having almost all of our clients. I can't actually think of one off the top of my head that wouldn't, but all of our clients are prepared to be verbal or written referees for us. So that helps as well. I think that helps break down the anxiety about embarking on a new offshore journey.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? I mean, one of our messages again is that people need more stepping stones. There's typically quite a long sales cycle between getting someone knowledgeable at outsourcing and then integrating them into an outsourcer or BPO, because I call it the $100,000 conversation. Typically, a BPO wants, in an ideal world, a 1 to 2 year contract. They want, you know, 2 to 3 seats. And so you're actually going from zero to $100,000 conversation. And people need easier stepping stones and a little bit more assurance than that, because in these people's minds, it's a country a long way away. It's scary. There's a lot of unknowns. And, you know, you're actually having to deal with humans as well, human resource, which can't be taken lightly. So it's good that you try and provide those stepping stones, because it really is just about getting started a lot of the time, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Michelle. And if people want to get in touch with you, of course, it's Yempo Solutions is your outsourcing service. How can they get in touch with you and learn more?
They can find our website at www.yempo-solutions.com. Or they can email me at mf@yempo-solutions.com.
Fantastic. And of course, all of that will be in our show notes. Thanks for joining us, Michelle. Okay, that was Michelle Fegan of Yempo Solutions. If you want to get in touch with Michelle for any reason whatsoever, then do so. You can find all of her contact details and our show notes at outsourceaccelerator.com/103. And if you want to ask us anything, then just send us an email to ask@outsourceaccelerator.com. See you next time.